What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear. Strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/ohio's time.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant. That's a G, yo, and George.
Thanks, Joe. Yeah!
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
On second down, Stroud steps up. Stroud will tuck and run. Stroud begins. C.J. Stroud takes it into Los Angeles territory.
That was the second play where I think it was pretty clear that C.J. Stroud at the very least has his confidence back, even if he isn't playing at the very high level he was playing at for most of his rookie season. We have not seen that C.J. Stroud in months. I saw someone texting in a little bit earlier to the show, Joe, saying, oh, CJ's back. Get out of here. He has never left. I don't know about that. I feel like the CJ Stroud we've been seeing for most of this year has been a guy who 100% is in a sophomore slump. We didn't think it would happen going into the year. Guess what? It did happen. Maybe he's shaking out of it, but it had been a while since we saw him playing confident, in my opinion.
You don't think C.J. Stroud would say the same thing? That he hasn't played up to his own standard this year?
I wonder if he'd say he's still playing confident, though, because I feel like when it comes to athletes in professional sports, they always want you to know they're confident. They never doubt themselves. But it's very human to doubt yourself, and if you're struggling for a long period of time, it's very natural to potentially do that.
Yeah, I mean, we started here towards the end of the season. He seemed much more frustrated, which I think can be correlated with confidence. And even just watching him in the pocket for most of the season, even there's just like a confidence that he wasn't going to get crushed in every single play. A lot of change. The interceptions, he was throwing worse picks than he had ever thrown this year. And so for the first, like after that throw, he looked like a totally different quarterback. He looked more confident. He looked like even the near interception. I'm good with that interception. If it would have happened to Derwin, the one that Derwin James nearly caught, because it was a one-on-one throw. He tried to put the ball in a spot. He just missed it. It wasn't like the interception earlier in the game. If that's what all of his interceptions were like, I would not care, because it's one-on-one. Like Dalton Schultz and some of these guys, they're going to come down with the ball sometimes. Like, you're going to have success on that throw in the season. It's the one earlier in the game that was like the C.J. Stroud that we had all lost confidence in. It just makes no sense. Like, was he throwing the ball out of bounds? Was he just totally unaware of like what was happening? Like, I don't know. So if it's all the near interception going forward, fine with it. Don't care. Throw as many of those as you want, because at least it's a one-on-one situation. It's a jump ball.
I do not want him to throw as many of those as he wants just because Justin Herbert did that. But I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
Look, he can't really do that, though. He's got to take care of the football a little bit better than he has. I mean, if you're going to win, you're not going to win by turning the football over three times, or what it could have been, four times or five times on a couple of near calls when it came to almost Stroud interceptions, because they fumbled the ball twice. Stroud throws the one interception. It should have been two. The Derwin James interception was an interception. I can't believe they overturned that.
Really? Because I thought it was pretty clear it touched the ground, that he didn't have possession.
I didn't see it. I watched the replay a couple of times. I was up in the press box looking at the small little TV, but I thought it was BS. I thought they should have kept that as an interception.
Yeah, I mean, I had to watch it after to see it, because I was pretty stunned in the moment, like, because it was like right in front of us where it happened. But I thought when you look at the replay from the one from the inside angle, it looks like he's clearly fumbling the ball when it touches the ground. And that to me is he doesn't have possession. These referees were tough, though. I mean,
they always are.
Yeah, I think B. Hannon mentioned it earlier in the Twitch. There was one play where it definitely should have been throwing the ball away or whatever, the 15-yard penalty, where I don't think he even got it across the line of scrimmage.
Oh, it was in the end zone. I think it might have been the play before, two plays before the
Hutchinson.
I thought that when he was outside the tackle box and he threw it past the line of scrimmage. I mean,
it was just at
the tackle
moment,
box was the trickiest thing. Was he out in or out of the tackle box? And the Chargers were all saying, "Hey, he's inside the tackle box."
And in the moment, you're like, "Wait, because normally there's a discussion about it, you know?" And you're just
no,
like,
they just
oh,
moved
just,
on. Yeah, yeah. I was happy about
that,
too.
I think that's where it got people.
The Chargers sideline was like acting like it was grounding. I think that they were playing it up a little bit. I don't think it was, but it did seem like he got outside of the tackle box there. Look, that run by Stroud and the throw to Hutchinson seemed like he got his confidence back in that moment. A couple of texts and comments. These are from the Twitch. Todd the Show says, "I still don't know why everyone thinks the play CJ made was so impressive. The Chargers just screwed it up, and the dude was wide open." Well, I mean, he had to corral a snap that was on the short side of the field, pick it up, and find somebody downfield. Not every quarterback's going to do that. A lot of quarterbacks are going to play it safe, throw it away, turtle on it, run out of bounds. He tried to make something happen with it. I don't know how many quarterbacks would do that, but I would guess that less than half of the quarterbacks in the NFL would try to make something happen in a spot like that, especially with it already having been 3rd and 16 there.
Yeah, and I think you see a lot of quarterbacks, too, would compound that issue typically. Like, if you see a play like that, it feels like a lot of times it ends in an interception.
Yeah.
Where, like they try to make something out of nothing, they try to save the day, and they make a disastrous decision on top of that, whether they just don't – the receivers don't go in the right spot or whatever. But, yeah, it's – whatever it is, it seemed to cure the offense for at least one day. Like, they were just much better, much more confident, really from start to finish. I mean, they had a different game plan than they've had most of the season. It just looked and felt different. As soon as they started moving the ball, it was just a much better offense.
For sure. Poor Marine, does the fan base really think that one play changed CJ forever for the good now? So there's going to be some people pushing back on Stroud clearly getting his confidence as this game wore on. I feel like you're arguing for the sake of arguing.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's going to say he's going to be good forever now.
No.
He's going to be good until he's 50 years old now. Like, no, we're talking about the game that we watched that it was the clear turning point in how he performed in the game.
He was good the rest of the game, but they got to figure out how to keep this going for the Chiefs game. And that's going to be tricky because I thought Bobby Slowick actually called a pretty good game offensively. I thought the pass protection definitely had its shaky moments. Desert Stroh on YouTube says, "I credit his slump to the offensive line. It's tough to be confident behind that front, for sure." But Stroud should be more confident with the thing that you just heard him do, running. And this is Stroud after the game talking about why he trusted his legs more than he has in the past in this one.
Other than Bo Nix for real this year, they didn't really spy, and Mahomes as well, they did it, but they didn't really spy other quarterbacks. So I kind of seen it on film and thought, like, one of them, I think, actually the interception I threw to, I think that was in the second quarter, but I kind of looked on the thing and seen that I had a running hole. So the next play, I didn't, like, really, like, just have it in my mind I was going to do it, but once I seen them kind of back up and I just took off and, you know, trusted my slow speed. but, yeah, I thought, you know, and I kind of, you know, I felt my, you know, my joy coming back. And after I got up, just that's one of the best feelings in the world is after you make a play, you know, you just turned up, you know, and then your teammates turned up with you. You know, that's one of the best feelings in the world. And I think that kind of gave our team juice. So, yeah, I think, you know, just me losing my legs is definitely going to be helpful this postseason.
You didn't see the confidence as much after the throw to Xavier Hutchinson, and we heard from Stroud earlier saying, yeah, I was actually mad at myself after that play. But after that run, you see him on the ground, he sits, he flexes, he's smiling. He talked a little bit later about how the fun was back. They're finally having fun again. That's where I could tell his confidence was back. And if you don't think it was, you're crazy.
Yeah, they definitely operated very differently than that. And it's like they just needed a wake-up call, and they've just been waiting and waiting and waiting. When you have the offensive performances that you're going to have, and every week you talk about getting better and fixing the issues and they never get fixed, like, at least in that moment, it just felt more confident. And, yeah, to what, like, poor Marine is saying, I get it. Like, I don't think fans think that, like, CJ changed forever. I mean, if you start the way you started this last game, you're not going to beat the Chiefs. The Chiefs are not going to have two field goals like that, even though their offense has been an issue this year. They're going to score on at least one of those possessions, and you're going to be down 10-0. If you run four plays and a minute and a half football to their 10 and a half minutes football, it is not going to be 6-0. And their defense is excellent. So it's going to be hard to get back into a game. So, like, I don't know if it fixed everything, but it gives you confidence that it can be, it doesn't have to be as bad as it's been all season. That you've took a team that's well coached, has a good defense, and your offense executed when it mattered most on Saturday. So, like, yeah, there's a reason confidence should be back. It doesn't mean we're all going to pick the Texans to win this weekend, but they did something that they haven't done in weeks, months.
The offense finally looked good. It's been a while. From the 8-3-2, this person is pushing back on Bobby Slowik compliments. Look, we've been crushing him all year. There were moments in this game that he did a good job. CJ made the plays happen on those two, for sure. I'm not giving Slowik credit for those two plays. Those two plays were what got the offense going. And Slowik, as the game went on, I think figured out when they should run the football. Late at the very end of the game, they were running and it was working. And I thought that he also called a lot of good passes. Stroud was unbelievable, numbers-wise, over the middle. Like, we're talking close to perfect passer rating. And that's when he's at his best, is when he's throwing over the middle. Usually it's to Nico Collins, who, surprise, had a huge game. That's where the offense has to be every single week, focused around Stroud giving the ball to Nico Collins over the middle of the field. It is basically unstoppable. Ask the question, are you back on the Houston Texans bandwagon after what you saw on Saturday? Are you back aboard?
I am. I felt a level of misery going into Saturday. Like, I thought Devin walking was very fair.
All week long, for sure. When you walked into NRG Stadium, did you feel better or worse?
No, it did, the vibe was not.
When the
game started.
I'm surprised by that.
Like, when the game started, and they're like, there was Chargers fans, and all I saw was red seats.
Yeah, there were like, a lot of empty seats.
You could see red seats.
It's the late arriving crowd.
Yeah.
It's a Houston
tradition.
The Arian
and his, like, what's up was the most boring intro I've ever seen.
Hey, the H is up, not the what's up. It's
no,
a tradition.
He threw a what's up.
But it's the H is up.
Yeah.
And also on top of the H is up, did you know what they do with the H is up? There's a cannon.
It scared him.
There's the cannon. So, guess what? Traditions. Come on, man. Who hasn't seen that cannon? Yeah, I still don't even know what the cannon was called. Like, they didn't even have like a good proper name for it. So yeah, at the beginning of the game,
vibes are off, walking into the stadium.
Yeah,
the vibes are bad. They don't feel good. Like, am I gonna pick the Texans to win this weekend? I don't know. But I feel like going into Saturday, I have a sense of excitement, and I think the Texans fans should be excited to what's gonna come this weekend, because the Chiefs, while they have won two Super Bowls in a row, they are a beatable football team. The two best teams playing this weekend, neither of them are going to be in Kansas City. They're going to be playing in Baltimore. Or I guess in Buffalo. But yeah, I'm excited about the game this weekend. I am excited to see if what they unlocked from the moment the pass happened to Hutchinson to the run and everything that happened after to running the ball so successfully at the end of the game, the offensive line looking better in spots. Like, I'm excited to see if that can work again. So, yeah, I'm back in.
I believe there are possibilities now. I don't think there is only one fate for the Texans on Saturday. That is not me picking them. I will definitely be picking the Chiefs. I think 8 points is a lot. But the last time these two teams played, I believe it was an 8-point difference at Arrowhead Stadium about a month ago. So I understand why. It's the best matchup that they could have asked for this weekend, because they were never going to play the Bills. The Bills won. The Bills were going to probably play somebody else. So you get matched up with the Chiefs over the Ravens. That is definitely better for you. The Ravens are just a horrible matchup. And my God, Derrick Henry, he already owns you. And now all of a sudden, I don't know if you went to Germany and got some work done, but the guy looked like he was a rookie. And I mean, looked like he was a rookie in that he looked like he's 22. He was so fast.
He was a monster.
He outran, like, he ran by the entire Steelers defense in a way where I was like, I didn't know he had that gear left.
Yeah.
Good God. He has that gear going into the playoffs. I don't want to deal with that.
Honestly, and James Cook on the other side for Buffalo.
Yeah, Cook
he looked
good
so
too.
Good, too.
Cook looked good, but Henry is different.
No, Henry. Henry's remarkable. It just that he hasn't slowed down, and yeah, he looks younger, and this is like AFC Championship when they went there with the Titans level Derrick Henry. Again, they look But yeah, I'm back in. I'm excited. I cannot wait for Saturday already. 3:30 again. Right where they belong.
So you're basically back on. Basically.
I mean, I think if I was all the way back on, I'd be picking them to win for sure.
Well, there's still time. You picked them to win last week. Yeah. It worked.
I'll probably pick them to cover the spread.
Man, you just kid. You,
do they move on to the next round of the playoffs for covering the spread?
Or? No, I just
no, they haven't changed.
We're still reacting to Saturday. We're not okay. We're not on to Cincinnati or Kansas City yet.
Yeah, no Cincinnati in these playoffs, but Kansas City. You know who's beaten Kansas City before to stop their Super Bowl run? Cincinnati. We'll play some audio tomorrow, specifically Joe Mixon. Joe Mixon was a trip after this game. He was very fun. Very, very fun.
Very fun.
A variety of different interviews.
All the interviews.
Every single interview that he did was fantastic.
No matter how old you were, if you put a microphone in the Joe Mixon's face, you're getting the full Joe Mixon experience.
What a signing. That's been so huge for them this year. I don't know if it's the best move that Nick Caserio made, but it's got to be up there. He is just
It's tough because, I mean, Kamari Lassiter.
I think
Kalen Bullock. I mean, Kamari Lassiter had it was like a 0.0 rating against him. That's insane. I didn't know that was possible.
Also, when the Texans drafted him, like, we thought, yeah, okay, slot corner, we'll see. And the Texans still have a need at corner.
Right.
Now you look like they have two awesome corners now. And so to fill that gap in the Texans roster, so now it's a strength from a weakness that we thought it was in September. Like,
yeah.
Not enough credit to Kamari Lassiter, not enough credit to Nick Caserio.
He made a play downfield on that interception of the Herbert pass against a receiver who's significantly bigger than him. And I thought more impressive, he had this play where he flew up to the line of scrimmage and just destroyed, de-cleated was it a running back? I forget. All I know is he took his legs out from underneath him and stopped him in his tracks, and it was a hell of an open field tackle. He does truly everything.
Yeah, what Nick Caserio is like, just like he's the building blocks of this defense being Lassiter and Stingley. And they've gone from where it was before Stingley was back on the field last year to now having the best cornerback duo in the NFL, arguably. They're elite, and it's part of the reason why they'll have a chance to beat pretty much anyone in the NFL because of how good those guys are. If you can lock down pretty much any wide receiver, and that's what these two guys seem like they're capable of doing.
Right. C.J. Stroud, quarterback of your Houston Texans, has got his confidence going after that throw to Xavier Hutchinson and then the scramble a little bit later to close out the first half. Texans close it out with a 10-6 lead. He said after the game that complimentary football today could be the start of something special. Here is your quarterback.
I think we play full complimentary football today, like from offense to defense to special teams. Like, you know, that's just a testament to, like, you know, the head coach we have, of, you know, the faith that he puts in us to keep going, the city we represent. Like, everything is really just coming together at the right time. And, you know, I really feel like this is the start, and I'm really just, you know, amazed of, you know, the environment in there as well. But I really believe that, you know, we're just getting started, and, you know, hopefully that, you know, we continue to get this momentum rolling.
They needed to run the ball well, better on first and second down early in the game, but for the most part, I agree with what he just said. They played very good complimentary football. It was a perfectly balanced game offensively and defensively. And it's something that I do think they can replicate. I don't think that this has to be it does not have to be a one-hit wonder like it was last year to where then they struggled so much against Baltimore. Like, there should be things from this game that they can take away and have as an actual, like he's saying there, like a building block for at least this next weekend.
At least this one.
I just think Baltimore and Buffalo are just, right now, they're just at such a different level than everyone that even, like, you get through this weekend, I feel like those are the two best teams in the NFL.
Chiefs going to use that as disrespect.
I know.
No one finds motivational fuel quite on the level of the Kansas City Chiefs. I mean, you thought the Texans and Rex Ryan and me were bad. Like, The Chiefs find stuff. It is insane the way that they find ways to motivate themselves still. And they're going to look at that. Everyone's talking about the Ravens. Everyone's talking about the Bills. Nobody believes in us. The same way that Rodney Harrison said nobody believes in us when the Patriots were in the midst of a 17-game winning streak in 2004. Actually said that.
That's crazy.
They won the Super Bowl. Like, they beat the Panthers. They beat Jake Delhomme. Nobody believes in us. Rodney, what are you talking about, dude? What are you talking about? Everyone believed in you. You won 17 in a row. What are you talking about?
Wasn't it like 20-something, like 23 out of 21?
It was a 21-game winning streak over two seasons. Yeah, it was insane. Some texts. We were asking if you're on the bandwagon from the 713. Deep steel blue pill all the way, yo. Just quit my job because they denied my PTO request to fly out and watch the Texans this weekend. Shred them, Stroud.
Good for you.
Do we believe that?
You know what? I'm gonna believe him today.
I'm gonna believe him today.
Yes.
It is on a Saturday, so you might have to take Friday off to get there. So.
You could fly out Friday night, couldn't you?
It's a 3:30.
It's like you're just looking for a reason to quit your job.
But I initially was like, well, it's gonna be on Sunday, but it is gonna be on Saturday.
Now it could be a job that you have to work the weekends. So
could be that.
Yeah.
Could be that.
I'll tell you, middle manager Joe would let people off. Or
really?
Yeah, I would.
Look at you.
If anyone wants to,
I don't
want to
go this weekend. I saw Jeremy tweeting out the weather. I was like, ah.
Yeah, it looks pretty cool.
No thanks.
I mean, it's going to snow in Houston like 2 days later. So,
is it really?
Next Monday, we're projected to have snow. Yeah.
Oh.
You're looking at the forecast the week ahead?
No, I saw it on Twitter.
Oh, okay. I was like, damn.
And then I looked and I was like, oh, yeah, there's a little snow icon.
Oh, God. That's not fun. ERCOT.
We'll be fine.
Get ready. Please get ready. Yeah, we'll be fine. Damn it, Joe. That's a bigger jinx than potentially jinxing Texas Chiefs.
We won't be able to break down the Texans' first AFC.
We will.
AFC Championship appearance.
No.
Don't
put that energy out there. Don't put that energy out there. Yeah, there's no electricity in Houston again. God, that would be awful.
Yeah, it's not fun.
Look, also shout out to that guy who made the bet with his friends if the Texans lose the first weekend. I'm going to join the Navy. He doesn't have to join the Navy.
That's right. I thought it was if the Texans won.
If the Texans lost, he would have had to, in the first weekend of the playoffs,
he
would have had to commit to the Navy.
Congrats to you, man.
Yeah. Congrats.
The U.S. lost a seaman.
Do you double down?
It did.
Do you double down?
Double or nothing? I'll join the Navy twice.
The Navy SEALs? The Marines? Man.
That's iconic.
And that's like you actually have to, like, I don't know what this guy's resume is. I don't know if he can get into the Navy SEALs.
Yeah, imagine trying out for, like, going through the first off, Marines, or second off, even more difficult, Navy SEALs process and getting rejected and going through all that to not even get to the finish line.
Yeah.
That would suck.
No thanks.
From the 832, I'm on board with the Texans this weekend. I just don't want to see the officials mess up the game in favor of the Chiefs like I know they will.
Yeah, I mean, it does seem like things very often go the way of the Kansas City Chiefs before that. Just saw this tweeted out. Clay Martin is refereeing the Kansas City Chiefs Texans game this weekend.
Not Clay Martin.
The Chiefs are 6-0 when he's the head referee. So.
Oh, okay.
So maybe to those concerns, we'll see how it goes.
Did Ben DeBose provide that statistic?
No,
Mr. Anti-Refs holding him accountable online?
Someone else just did.
Gotcha. From the 281, can we, the fan base, separate from church and state and still be able to recognize after this season that CJ isn't that guy, even with the team's success, or are we doomed to keep him and not realize it till 8 years down the line?
That's a crazy take, because I don't think I've ever thought that he's not that guy.
# Davis Mills is better, he writes at the very end. I feel like he might have been sarcastic, but...
Sorry, Mrs. Mills, if you're texting us.
Stroud has to be that guy.
That's
where you're at. He has to be that guy, because you will have CJ Stroud under center for the next decade, unless he pulls at Deshaun Watson and forces his way out of town, God forbid.
Yeah, really, unless... Yeah, will he ever be in the top four? I don't know, because there's such a large gap right now.
It's going to be tough to crack.
Yeah.
The three guys that are in the AFC playoffs and Burrow, that might be the four for a while.
But it is the next guy on the list, that's still obtainable. Is he there right now? No. Would I advise him to not put himself publicly in front of Josh Allen anymore? Yes. But no, I think that's a take.
I was kind of nodding along of like, yeah, we probably, you know, next time Mike Sando quarterback tiers come out next, you know,
I'm curious
August,
where he'll rank.
Yeah. We probably won't be like, he should be top five. Like, no, we probably won't be doing that show. But he should still be top 10, I would say.
Couple more texts. They are suggesting that the Chiefs could be a little bit rusty, given that they haven't played their starters in nearly 4 weeks. I'm not going to go that far with this team. I feel like the Chiefs are the one team that can just show up and roll the ball out, and they don't even need to stretch.
You know, the Texans started slow. Texans started slow this week.
True.
I mean, it has been since Christmas Day.
that they played.
Since the Chiefs played their starters.
Right. I mean, the Texans played their starters against the Titans for what it's worth. Yeah, they did, but they did play them. The Chiefs didn't play at all.
Yeah, so it is very logical that the Chiefs start slow. So early key to the game might be if they start slow, you have to answer. You have to score early.
Yeah. That worked well the last time, though. Texans. Sorry, that's too negative.
They got a better coach now.
Oh, yeah. I remember when the Texans jumped all over the Chiefs last time.
Just don't bring that up. God, I don't want to talk about either of the Texans Chiefs playoff games.
I'm sorry.
The first one, I hated the first one more than the second one. The second one was at least fun for a moment.
And the
first one sucked. Like, you had J.J. Watt and the effing Wattcat, and then you fumbled I think it was like return for a touchdown the next play. Awful. From the 713, just filed for divorce because my wife is asking me to go to a baby shower on Saturday. I actually agree with that. That's a good move.
Yeah.
It's a good move.
Baby shower.
Baby showers? Oh, God. Brutal.
I don't remember ours, so. It was also like the midst of the pandemic, so I don't think we really had one.
You got away with that
Zoom baby shower.
I think we had like 10 people there. I think it was like all her family, and that was it. I think my parents were on Zoom.
Oof.
Yeah.
Baby showers not fun.
Yeah. Wow.
Not considered a drinking event because, you know, the wife.
It should be, though.
I agree. I feel like because that's the only way a guy can get through that. Yeah. But, like, it's exciting to have a kid, but, like, oh, let's sit around and let's open presents
for the baby.
That's
why it's mostly for the ladies.
Yeah.
So did you just carry on, like, an iPad with your parents?
They were on. We just, like, called them.
Okay. Like, I was picturing them at the. I thought that's what you meant. That
no.
You're just, like, they're whatever.
I have heard of this thing called a diaper party for the guys where you just buy diapers.
A diaper party?
You buy diapers and beer. That's your obligation if you've been invited.
Yeah, that's a good one.
You show up with a six-pack or you buy a round or two if you go somewhere, and then that's where the guys just get drunk.
Wow.
The male version.
Yeah, that's better.
Yeah, but you have to come with also diapers. Damn. Yeah.
Okay. Learning new things.
Yeah.
Mr. Father over here.
Yeah.
He's Joe. I'm Paul. Sean behind the glass. 713-780-3776 to call into text, and you can join on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. Up next, the 10-minute drill. One coach gone. Who would have thought that there would be another coach out of a job today, and it wasn't a guy who lost in the playoffs. Another coach got hired, and we talk about everything that happened. Not Texans, Chargers related over the course of Super Wild Card Weekend. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Set, hush.
Tackling the biggest news in the NFL.
This just in.
With Paul Gallant and Joe George. The 10-minute drill starts now.
Football time. Texans did beat the Chiefs. Excuse me, they did not. They beat the, we will hope they will beat the Chiefs this coming weekend. They did beat the Chargers. Chargers 32-12 on Saturday. They play the Chiefs this coming Saturday at 3:30. We'll get back into talking about the Texans win in a bit. Mike McCarthy out as Cowboys head coach per Adam Schefter. His contract expired last Wednesday. The team held an exclusive negotiating window until Tuesday at midnight. But both sides have not had any negotiations regarding a new deal. So he will not return per Schefter. Sounds like we still have time until Tuesday at midnight. So the fact that this has been leaked now.
Yeah.
Is it the Cowboys actually giving Schefter the truth? Are they jerking him around a little bit? I imagine it is the truth. It's weird that they waited this long to do this, given that Mike Vrabel theoretically could have been a target for them.
Yeah, so since then, like, so they can't interview Vrabel. Somebody, I can't remember, Jordan Schultz reported that if he had known the job would have been open, Bill Belichick would have been interested in it. They now cannot interview Aaron Glenn, Ben Johnson, anyone still actively in the playoffs, and so their team has been eliminated. So they now lost an entire pool of candidates. They have to wait. So if they even wanted Ben Johnson, if the Lions win the Super Bowl, they can't talk to him until February 10th. So, like, they've kind of put themselves in a really weird spot by waiting. And then even Schefter's tweet says not expected to return to Dallas. So, like, it's like there's still some maybe some kind of hope. I know he followed it up with their parting ways, but it's very strange. This whole thing is strange.
It is bizarre. I think part of it is the Cowboys love to steal the headlines when they're not in the playoffs. They try to find a way. They've done it on Super Bowl weekends before, and they're doing it now. I do think this is the best coaching job available. I think this is better than all the other jobs.
I personally, I don't agree. You've got three players who are going to command the top of the market money in a roster that struggles in a lot of other areas. And frankly, I think part of what makes it not a great job is Jerry.
I would rather work for Jerry Jones than Amy Adams Strunk, McCaskey, the old lady running the Bears.
Yeah, the Saints job's pretty bad.
Saints job, you've got all the salary issues that you come into. What are the other jobs? The Raiders, where, okay, maybe that one's intriguing if Tom Brady is taking more ownership.
He's calling the shots.
And what was the other gig that's available? Jets.
Yeah. And Jets.
Yeah, those are all terrible. So yeah,
maybe it is better than...
Last week we were saying, like, you almost could not come up with the five worst jobs in the NFL and it'd be worse than the five that were actually open. So, yeah, it's a little bit of, like, they're the best out of what bunch, though?
Yeah. I do wonder, too, if, like, Kellen Moore and Dan Quinn both advancing in the playoffs, your former OC in D.C., was like the final nail for Jerry to be like, I'm kind of over this. Like, we're out of the playoffs. The guys we let go are having great success, and we're stuck here. Seems not good.
Also, if I'm Mike McCarthy, I have to believe that he thinks he has a good shot at one of these jobs. At the very least, this is very good job preservation of not having to be basically year to year with the Cowboys going forward. Now, you know, say he gets one of these jobs. Okay, he's going to have 2 or 3 years, at the very least, of job security.
Yeah, because it does seem like that Jerry wanted him to sign, like, an incentive-laden contract. Which, like, why would you sign that?
But yeah, I don't think any of us think that Mike McCarthy's some awesome coach. But at the same time, like, he can get better than that.
The Patriots hired Mike Vrabel. Good.
Good for you.
Wow. I thought it was going to be Pep Hamilton and Byron Leftwich.
Yeah.
Or Aaron Glenn.
Or Aaron
Glenn. People are mad at them for skirting the Rooney Rule. Look, they did things by letter of the Rooney Rule. That's kind of the problem with the Rooney Rule. They wanted Mike Vrabel. I don't think a team should be punished for hiring the candidate that they wanted more than any other ones. You shouldn't have to be doing interviews while doing the interviews, you know you've got something better lined up. It's like going on a date for the sake of going on a date. When you know that there's only one person you're interested in.
What they did wrong was that they made Pep Hamilton and Byron Leftwich, A, on the same day, B, the same graphic when they tweeted it out. They said, we completed the interviews with both these guys.
What if Mike Vrabel told them he would like to consider Pep Hamilton and Byron Leftwich
as
his offensive coordinator? And they were, like, pre-interviewing them.
That wouldn't be, that would be the smart way to do it.
And they're all in on the bit.
That'd be work smarter, not harder.
That's the only way to salvage some of the optics of this. It looks bad.
Yeah.
It looks bad. I don't think it's the end of the world,
but
though.
The Texans also were pretty dead set on hiring D'Amico Ryans when he was available.
Correct.
And so they had to do other interviews anyway.
They're also supposedly dead set on hiring Josh McCown.
Well, we don't want to talk about
that. Josh McCown to the Cowboys?
Ooh.
Sark to the Cowboys?
He might get one of these jobs. McCown might.
The Cowboys even want Sark after that red zone situation?
Two straight years, best two teams he has. Best part of the team is defense. You want him to call your plays?
We'll get into Texas losing.
We don't have to.
We will. We will. Only for a little bit today.
Texans Chargers.
Perhaps some more tomorrow. Texans did beat the Chargers 32-12. The other games of the weekend. I wonder if Mike Tomlin gets traded to the Dallas Cowboys. It seems that his effect just does not work for the Steelers in December and January. They are at the absolute top shelf of above average, but they cannot get any further than that. I know that the final score says 28-14. That game was not close at all. It was 21-0 at halftime. Derrick Henry, 26 carries for 186 yards. And
two touchdowns. Lamar Jackson, efficient game, also ran 81 yards. He throws for two touchdown passes. Ravens look like they're going to be very difficult to beat, but the Steelers basically look like they didn't have a pulse.
Yeah, I just don't know what to do. Like, you trade Tomlin and then hope to be terrible and, like, intentionally hire a terrible coach? So you bottom out?
The Steelers don't do that, though. So that's the thing. I really wonder what they will do here. It does feel like at this point that it's just not going to work any better for Tomlin in Pittsburgh. You're not firing him because it's his fault. You're firing him because maybe it's time for a break, kind of in the same way where the Eagles did that with Andy Reid back in the day.
Like, you just need they need a quarterback.
I was going to say, to me, like, it's so much more pressing that the quarterback's the issue, not the coach.
Correct.
100%.
Because if we all think that Mike Tomlin's going to immediately walk into whatever job he wants the second he gets fired, like,
correct.
Maybe it's more on the fact that they're starting a veteran minimum Russell Wilson and having to have half the fan base think that they should be starting Justin Fields, who got cut from the Bears. Maybe that's the problem.
Yeah. I don't know how they solve their quarterback problem, like, where they go to Rodgers or Cousins. Like, that doesn't solve your problems. Like, we saw the Colts do this. And unlike the Colts, the Steelers will always be too good to bottom out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or they, like, trade T.J. Watt for, like, the first pick in the draft?
He didn't do anything in that game, by the way.
Yeah, he did.
Where was he? I mean, like, they got stars on the Steelers, and those guys didn't do much of anything. The Ravens will head to Buffalo to play the Bills, who took down the Broncos 31-7 yesterday. The Broncos did make it frisky in the first quarter. You had the Bo Nix long touchdown pass. You had Syracuse legend Riley Dixon, their punter, throwing a pass downfield. That was a hell of a pass.
It was a good throw. And then they punted it after the next three plays. Strange decision.
They went three and out.
Strange decision.
It was like fourth and 11 or something.
Yeah,
like, they were not close. It wasn't a ESPN analytics say go. They're behind the sticks.
Completely outmatched. James Cook ran all over what is a pretty good Broncos defense. Their offense still has a ways to go. Bo Nix is fun, but I still am not all the way there thinking, like, hey, this future is really bright with Bo Nix as quarterback of the Denver Broncos.
I think this is more the truth of Bo Nix than I think the regular season is, so I'm with you. I'm not a Bo-leaver.
But you are a Bull-leaver.
I'm a Bull-leaver.
Not a Bo-leaver.
Yes. Swarm.
Excellent. Four. NFC side of things. The Eagles beat the Packers 22-10. Another game where the final score is not indicative of how one-sided this was. This is a massive indictment, I think, for Matt LaFleur. I know they have one of the youngest teams in the league, but they had so many penalties in this game. They were sloppy. They missed an easy field goal. They were 1-for-3 in the red zone. I know that Jordan Love's hurt, but three interceptions in this game, it was a rough one. And I wonder what's next for the Packers, because everyone was looking at them in the same way they were looking at the Texans going into this year. Oh, C.J. Stroud. Oh, Jordan Love. It's trending straight up. Eagles, meanwhile, that defense is really, really good.
I think the Packers are kind of stuck. I really can't imagine, like, that. You just paid Jordan Love. If you fired LaFleur, he would be named a head coach in 2 days.
I agree. They're not going to fire him. It's more, like, I just think you look at what they've done in the regular season. It hasn't happened in the playoffs.
That's for sure.
And this game, it felt like the Packers weren't engaged. They were sloppy. They just didn't seem prepared.
I think it's more of an indictment on Jordan Love, personally. I'm not a big fan. I saw this stat flowing out there from someone pulled this from Pro Football Focus. Jordan Love on non-play action, non-RPO, non-screen attempts, so just straight drop back and throw it. 57% completion percentage, 15 touchdowns, 15 interceptions, 7.5 yards per attempt, and a 77 quarterback rating. He's not good when he just drops back and throws the football. Like, he needs significant help. And Josh Jacobs was incredible in last night's game.
Yeah.
And they had no shot. So, I don't think they have the next Aaron Rodgers or Brett Favre. They're paying him like it, but
he turns the football over a lot, so he could be the next Brett Favre.
Yeah. I just don't know.
The non-Hall of Fame version of Brett Favre.
But then again, Favre and Rodgers each only have one Super Bowl, so Love could get that and then be mid the rest of his career.
Sure. We'll see what happens with them, but I think they've got some serious questions to answer. The good thing is that they are the youngest team in the league, so at the very least they have that.
That's why I'm not too been out of shape about it. I think them just showing up wholly unprepared for the first quarter. Like, the first quarter was an absolute Eagles onslaught. And if anything, it's more on the Eagles that it was only 10-0.
Yeah.
But I think they showed up, and from literally the first kickoff, it was, it's going to be one of those days for Green Bay.
Yeah. And everyone's getting hurt, too, as Sunshine of Twitch points
yeah.
out.
Oh, yeah. Their left guard went out, and I don't know if this is true, but half their penalties had to have been on the backup left guard that they're having, just holding on every single play.
I think there's a ceiling with LaFleur, though. I think that's the problem, because they're going to win a lot in the regular season, and
yeah,
maybe they can't get anywhere in the playoffs. They looked unprepared in that game. Again, they're young. We'll see. Sunday Night Football, this was the best game of the weekend. Shout out to Dan Quinn, who showed balls that I bet Falcons fans wish he had shown in that Super Bowl against the Patriots. Kept on going for it over and over again on fourth down. And especially a shout out to Jaden Daniels. My team has Drake May. Joe's team has Caleb Williams. I think any person that has a team with an unproven quarterback or a young quarterback, at least for a moment last night, you had to have a little bit of Jaden Daniels envy.
Oh,
that
yeah.
guy has poise out the wazoo.
Yeah, I mean, if he can stay healthy, because like I
agree with that.
The frame concerns me, but he has been so clutch this year in fourth quarter situations, and it started off really poorly, and then it got a little dicey when he had a rib injury. But Dan Quinn, Cliff Kingsbury have like totally deserved their career renaissance that they're having right now. I love the way they're going for it and fourth down. It totally looks like he understood from what happened in Atlanta. He has the confidence. Terry McLaurin is now everything we ever thought he was going to be in the NFL. They look legit. That's the game I'm most excited for this weekend. Because like they're a fascinating football team. They've won a game every way you possibly can this year. And Detroit's defense is super banged up. And if someone's going to give them a run for their money, it might be the Commanders offense, honestly. Like, they're legit. Yeah, I have a lot of Jaden Daniels envy.
Baker Mayfield's fumble.
Tough.
Rough moment. I mean, you just stopped them on downs because they were going for it a lot. The Commanders, they just kept on going for it. They were getting stopped a couple of times. I respected the aggressiveness, even if I didn't like the play calling. Right after you get a stop to fumble the ball with your back to the goal. That's rough. That's rough there.
Yeah.
Especially when you're just trying to hand it off and you completely
effed
up.
That's the thing. It wasn't even like a strip sack or anything. Because they showed the graphic where this season, I think Baker Mayfield had the most or the second most fumbles for any quarterback this year. And I was like, it's a little unfair to do that because it was just a fumbled exchange, really. Or not exchange, like a handoff situation. But yeah, that was one where you're like, oof. Also, do they do something with the cameras at Raymond James Stadium? Because every time the Tampa would do something, I noticed that the camera would, like, shake. Like, is it on, like, a bleacher somewhere?
Good question. I don't know.
Because it looked like, I was like, is this the best home field in football?
It's definitely not.
But the camera would shake every time they did something.
Maybe it was like in the NCAA football video game where you have one of the top 25 crowds, the stadium would shake.
Because it's a rookie quarterback, right. So it's a little shaky.
Yeah.
Lines are squiggly for Jaden Daniels. Okay.
Could have been that. But Jaden Daniels, as the game went on, those lines stopped being squiggly. So there you go. That's the 10-minute drill. We do have to talk about what happened on Friday. Sorry, Sean. We got to talk about it. Got to say, Texas, they did not look outclassed in this game. It's 21-14 with about 3 minutes left. They're knocking on the door against Ohio State. Sarkisian Slowik calls a toss sweep to the left that loses a ton of yards. And then Sark Slowik on third down calls a pass play, and this is what happened.
Pressure comes. Sawyer knocked it out and picks it up. Jack Sawyer headed down the sidelines. Ohio State scoop and score and dagger from 82 yards.
Doing okay, Sean?
Yeah.
I was thinking about you on Friday a lot.
Really?
You and B-Mac. I was worried about you guys. I really just wanted a Texas-Notre Dame national championship game.
That would have been fun for the show.
It would have been good.
That's the toss play is just a terrible play call. I don't know. Just run it. QB sneak it three plays in a row, four plays in a row.
Ohio State's as fast as you. Ohio State's arguably more physical than you. With your offense, their defense. What are you doing? If they hadn't gotten cute there, things might have gone differently. And honestly, I think it's very strange that all season long they were bringing in Arch Manning in the red zone, and they didn't bring in Arch Manning here. Why? Were they trying to make Quinn Ewers the hero? Like this, you know that conspiracy theory that people have about the Seahawks back in the Patriots-Seahawks Super Bowl where they didn't give Marshawn Lynch the football? They tried to throw it. I mean, I could see how conspiracy theories would take root that Steve Sarkisian was trying to give this one to Quinn Ewers. It's like, hey, man, like Arch Manning in the red zone works. I don't know.
Arch Manning was on the sideline after, so he runs for a first down, what, sometime in the first half?
Correct. I think it was
on the first scoring drive.
Yes.
But in the fourth quarter, someone like saw him and then saw him after the game, and he didn't have his helmet with him at all. So there's thought that maybe he got concussed on the run. Yeah, and since he's a backup, like they're not going to, whatever. They're not going to... Hey, just to let you know, our backup quarterback is out.
So. Yeah, they wouldn't recognize, like, and even the broadcast wouldn't realize.
Yeah, so as long as he's on the sideline, just not with his helmet, like, no one would notice. So I think there could have been some of that.
That would make sense, and of course, in college, you can never talk to the players after the game.
Yeah.
Especially if they're concussed, but I mean, also, they just limit media access to players, so you don't really get a feel for what the hell happened.
Four that they want you to talk to. It's
and
like the four captains, basically.
Yeah.
And that's it, yeah. Tough. Sweep on the goal line, not great. A lot of people were posting the sweep that the Patriots ran against the Falcons to win the 28-3 Super Bowl, being like, it's not that bad. I think it was that bad, guys. I mean, it's not like totally like, oh my God, what are you doing? It's pretty bad, though.
Yeah. I know college football fans are mostly irrational. Are you out on Sark?
No.
Okay, good.
That's why, like, this isn't like, I mean, it sucks to lose, and it sucks to lose like that, where it's like that touchdown. They lost by two touchdowns. That touchdown, the touchdown before it half. It's like, oh my God, they're that close to actually beating these guys. But I mean, I went to college and they lost to Kansas. And then the next year they had a new head coach who in his first game lost to Maryland. And then the next year lost to Maryland again. So like the painful losses, like this is not nearly as painful as knowing that you suck, being good and being in the spot and feeling like you're going to be in the spot going forward. It again absolutely sucks, but it's not like whatever.
Being in the spot back-to-back years, not getting to the championship game and having questions about the offense coming out of both of them, especially with an offensive-minded guy running the show, it's a tough place to be. Because yeah, you're not moving on from him, but you're like, damn it.
Yeah, I mean, it is. I mean, it's something that we're talking about with Mike Tomlin a little bit, where it's like, can we try a new quarterback? Luckily, in college,
here comes Arch.
You definitely can try a new quarterback. Yeah. So, yeah, that'll be the what people are selling, you know, going forward. They're already like with the way too early championship favorites for next year. They're already the favorite for next year. It's like them, Georgia, I think Ohio State and Oregon. I think are the, so. Basically, like. I don't know.
The same teams?
Basically, the top four from preseason this year is the top four for next year. So, yeah, I think that just goes to show, like, things are going to be in a good spot. But when you get that close and you're, you know, two yards away from tying the national championship game and then having to play Notre Dame later, that...
Rude. I heard that.
Oh, sorry.
You're not slick.
Sorry. Hurt people. But, yeah, that does suck.
How's the YouTube and the Twitch want to know? How's your date?
I watched the game with the date at Netbar Shady Acres. She had told me before that even though she is an Aggie and she likes sports, that she was rooting for Texas in the game. And as we watched the game, that did seem to be true. And we were talking about this, and I told her, hey, listen, I brought this up on the air. I ask the listeners if they think it's a red flag that you are an Aggie that roots for Texas. And for the most part, she was supportive of Texas, but there was a moment where she was herself. And it was when Jack Story returned that
for
a touchdown. Yeah. And I even told her there, I was like, good. I'm glad. Because she was telling me, well, listen, when I was in school, they played each other once. That was it. And it's just different for me because I didn't really grow up hating them in the same way that people that went there while the two were playing each other every single year felt. And I said, well, don't you feel obligated to hate them because of the rest of people that you go to school with? And she said, no, not really. I really just want my friends to be happy. I was like, oh, wow, that's a green flag.
Yeah. It's like a nice person.
Green flag as a person, red flag as a sports fan.
Yes.
It was a good
that's
day.
Fair.
Is the Houston Marathon this coming weekend? I ask that because, well, listen, this might be
a red flag. Is she a marathon runner?
She's a half marathon runner.
Okay,
yes.
All right, not a red flag.
So this is what's tricky for me.
January 18th.
Yes. Okay. So before Texans Chiefs, do I have to go?
Is she making you sign up?
No. Okay. I'm not running.
Support.
Do I have to go in support?
Ooh.
We've been on two dates and we've hung out one time before that.
Ooh, that's a good question.
What time does this start?
It's early.
I'll be honest.
I don't want to go.
Paul, I'll tell you.
But I do feel obligated to be supportive.
I think if you... You should ask her what time, like, you think she'll cross the finish line.
No. I'm not doing that. That's too much pressure.
No, yeah. I think you need to be somewhere on the route, maybe with the...
She was trying to sell it to me early on in the date on Friday.
But she
wasn't asking me to go.
I think I have to go. I think if you like her, you got to be
there.
I think she
was trying to sell you on
I think you got to take her out for a drink after she finishes.
Well, yeah, but that's the problem. There's the Texans game, so I'm going to have to cover the Texans after that.
Well, they're playing on the road. You could watch the Texans game with her like you watched the Texans.
No, I can't. That's not how I do it.
That's what I'm saying. Ask her what time she finishes the race. If she's done at like 12:30,
I'm not going to ask her what time she finishes the race. I'm not. That's too much pressure.
Okay, but also, do you want to be at the finish line for 5 hours waiting for her?
It starts, I think, in the morning.
I don't know if the half marathon might not start at the same time. So just get some details first.
Okay, we'll figure it out. But that's your date.
I think you got to go.
Texans 32, Chargers 12. Are you back on the bandwagon? And do they have a shot against the Kansas City Chiefs? Stick around, Golan and George.
ESPN 97.5.
What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear. Strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/Ohio's time.